feel like I need to give a little backstory to what I'm going to talk about tonight, some teaching. Usually I feel like a preacher. I have a hard time slowing down to teach, but I have a different side. I feel like sometimes I love to teach at Serenity House, and sometimes I get preachy there. Sometimes it's hard for me to get it slowed down to teach. But I do feel like I want to teach on something tonight. Years ago, I wrote a Bible study with a friend of mine, and I've kind of picked and pulled little nuggets from here or there from that lesson series. We titled it The 9 Tests That Every Christian Must Face. We talked about the 9 different tests. There was the wilderness test, and there was the test of your agenda, what makes you do the things you do, the motivations, and so on and so forth. And one of those lessons was called the time test or the patience test. And so tonight, if you'll allow me, I want to extrapolate just that lesson tonight, and I want to talk about the time test. Okay? And these are tests that all of us as Christians will face, either in yesterday's chapter, today's chapter, or tomorrow's chapter. One of us, if not several of us, if not all of us, at some point or another in our walk with God, will deal with whether or not we will wait on God. We will all face that struggle. It is a fact of life. I don't like it any more than you do. I'm very impatient. My ADD doesn't survive well in a fast-paced environment. I like the next flavor. Anybody ever eat Gobstoppers? Everlasting Gobstoppers? I love them. Do you know why? Because the flavors only last about 15 seconds, and then you get the next one. Because it suits my ADD very well. It starts as grape, and then it travels to orange, and then I might get a lemon layer. Lemons are my favorite. Amen. But I live in a very fast-paced environment. My family is very busy. We have children in extracurriculars, I'm so thankful, so very thankful. If I don't get an amen from anybody, I know I will my wife. I'm so thankful that cross-country season has come to an end. Amen. In our household. Amen. I didn't hear my wife say amen. She must have loved it a lot more than I did. Praise God. Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight about the time test. And if you'll allow me for just a few minutes, I want to go all the way back into the book of Genesis. We're going to start in chapter number 11. There in Genesis 11, verse 27. Now, this is quite a bit of lengthy reading tonight, and so I don't expect everyone to follow along, but just follow the screen, if you will, and stick close by. This is we're going to read a lengthy passage. So, starting in 27, says, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Now Terah begat Abram and Nahor and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child." Sarai was barren and had no child. "Then Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And they went forth from the land of Ur, the Chaldees, to the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there." Okay? They came unto Haran and dwelt there. "And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now, I want to stay real close here, and I love the Hebrew language. I'm not very good at it. I'm not educated. There are many more even in this room, who are probably more educated on original Hebrew than I am. But I do like to dig around in an interlinear Bible every once in a while and dig out and pull out some extra layers of definition, what that looks like. And I want to just talk about what Terah means. Terah, which was Abram's father, T-E-R-A-H, Terah means, his name means wanderer. He's a wanderer. He's known as a wanderer. Now, that doesn't sound all that exciting until you get to the, in verse 32, it says, and they came, or verse 31, it says, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, that means, Haran means crossroads. So now we find Abram wandering at a crossroads. We find Abram just before, immediately into chapter 12, God calls to Abram. But we find Abram wandering with his father and family at a crossroads. He's hung up at a crossroads. Anybody ever been at a crossroads in life? Those are the worst because you just never really know what way to go. But you know that you can't stay at a crossroads. You will get run over. If I went to the intersection of Du Bois and 30 out here and I pulled in the middle of the road, I'm going to get smashed like a grasshopper in the summertime. It's just not going to work out very well for me if I get stuck and wandering around in the middle of a crossroads. I better have a clear direction. And that's what happens in chapter 12. Verse number 1, and then the Bible says there, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee." God is saying in verse 1, there's a whole mouthful having an understanding of what Terah's name means. And God very specifically separates Abram from Terah. It's not the will of God for us to wander in outside of the will of God for a long period of time. It's just not. But sometimes we are caught up wandering. Sometimes we have to be patient while wandering. And that's hard. Amen? Verse number 2 says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so Abram departed, and the Lord, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He was 75 years old. He'd wasted the good portion of his youth wandering at a crossroads with no clear direction. Imagine how you might feel if you are Abram in this moment. "And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's wife, or his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." He set out on a goal and he went following the word of God. Verse number 6, "And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and unto the Canaan, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed him from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous unto the land." And I'm going to skip around a lot, and you're going to have to take my word for it, because we just don't have the time to dissect 4 or 5 chapters of Scripture on a Wednesday night. But I want to talk about the time test, the patience test. So we love to focus on the promises that Abraham received from the Word of God. What did he tell him? He said, "I will make you a great nation." That sounds real nice. I like retirement packages. Amen. "I will bless you." That sounds real nice too. I believe this package is looking a little bit more handsome by the moment. "I will make your name great." Well, that sounds all right. I haven't seen Landon on a marquee in quite a while. "You will be a blessing." Now, that sounds even better to me. I love being a blessing to those around us. I love to cook. I love to make food for people. And I love the look that it puts on their face when they take a bite and it just melts in their mouth. I like it almost as much as eating it myself. Obviously, I like eating it myself a little more than the giving part, but, you know, I'm working on it. Okay? I will bless those that bless you. I think it's great that when somebody gives me a 20, that God gives them back 30. I think that's fantastic. I'm currently accepting 20s if anyone's available. There should be plenty enough here to buy a new bow, I would say. Amen. I will curse those that curse you. I like that too. I like God having my back. That sounds real nice to me. And of the people of the earth, all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. That sounds fantastic. Who loves being a blessing to your neighbor? I love that. Now we've made funnies, but I really do love being a blessing to my neighbor. Whether it's blessing them with fellowship or a plate of cookies, which my daughter makes really good cookies. We'll be taking orders after service. Just let me know, and she'll be glad to make those for you. She won't be glad to make them for me, but she will be glad to make them for you. Okay? So the promise entailed for Abraham personal blessings from God, personal protection from his enemies, and personal purpose to live out. Is there anything, I know there are several men in here who have a call of God on their life, is there anything more peaceful in your life than to know that you are currently perfectly, squarely set in the will of God? That is the greatest feeling on this side of heaven, I'm convinced. And here's Abram, after wandering at a crossroads, for the first time feels this divine direction. Abram was 75 years old when this promise is given. Abraham tried to circumvent the will of God even after this divine promise comes and all the benefits and the benefits package that God promised him as a part of following the will of God. He tries to circumvent the will of God, and rather than follow the plan of God and wait for Isaac, he falls into impatience like I probably would have, and has a son with Hagar. And Ishmael is born at 86 years old. This was 11 years after the promise is given. Now, you would figure he would have an all right grasp on waiting for God. I mean, this guy had been wandering for all these years at a crossroads with no direction. And all of a sudden, now he has a clear direction. And he still gets impatient. Anybody feel common with Abram tonight? Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So 25 years he sat on the promise of God before God fulfilled his word. It doesn't mean God did not fulfill his word. He miraculously did. And rather than wait for the miraculous, how many of us would get impatient and try and chase it down our own way? Praise God. Nobody's going to be honest with me tonight. And Abraham, after all the promises are given to Abram, that he would be a great nation, that he would be blessed, that his name would be great, that he will be a blessing, that God will bless those that bless you and curse them that curse you. He's got you back. And all the people in the earth will be blessed. All of that sounds great. And even Abraham is living on this promise. Then you would make the assumption that at some point Abraham would settle down and build a house and see the will of God fulfilled. And Abraham died in a tent rather than in a house. Short of the fullness of his own blessing because of his own impatience. Abraham and I get along real good. I find common in that man. The promises are not fulfilled immediately. So what happens in this patience test that we all must face? Your test will be different than mine, and mine will be different than the average in here. My wife and I just experienced a patience test, and it took a long time. And Abram made it 25 years before God fulfilled his promise and took care and had his back. I only waited 3.5 years, and I was angry when 3.5 years was too long. And yet Abram spent 25 years waiting on a son. To know what is in your heart. But yet we find Abraham waiting, impatiently waiting, when his promises are not immediately fulfilled. All of us struggle in the same fashion, the same form, waiting on the promise. Waiting desperately, looking. There's an old gospel song that said, "There's a promise coming down that old dusty road." Anybody ever heard that song? We're looking for the dust on the horizon for God's arrival, when all along he just wants us to wait. And we feel like we're talking about God himself giving this beautiful vision. "Hey, don't worry, bro, I got your 6, and I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to all the nations of the world and every family on the earth will be blessed because of you if you can just hang on for just a little bit." And yet we still find impatience while he's trying to do the will of God on his own. To humble you so the promises are not immediately fulfilled, so that God can know what's in your heart. There's no greater test to check the heart of man, none whatsoever, than make a man wait. There's no greater test to see what's in a man's heart or not. To humble you, God wants to find out, to humble us, to teach us that man does not live by what? Bread alone. That's how we know that God uses the patience test to humble us. When we don't like waiting, and I'm the king of not liking waiting. Find me in the lunch line at McDonald's and find out if I like to wait. Chicken nuggets is right now. I feel like McDonald's should change their sign. You know how it says McDonald's and it says so many billions served, and then they usually put a sales special on there? And I think it should say McDonald's, redefining fast food for 83 billion people. Like, I want it right now. We live in a microwave society. I don't have to wait on an... Anybody love French press coffee? And Brother Ignacio's brother-in-law, that guy's a wizard on coffee or tea, and it's got to just take just the... He showed... Last time I seen him make coffee, he brought his own coffee maker. And I'm not talking about like a bun you plug into the wall. I mean like this big gaudy thing, and it looked like a science experiment. But it's what I heard him say, that it makes the best cup of coffee has ever been made. And I can't verify that. I like coffee, but I mean... World's greatest cup of coffee. That sounds like quite an accomplishment from this silver thing. But yet, he said it's the time it takes to brew the coffee that changes the way the beans release the oils. And about halfway through the sentence, I lost attention span and couldn't wait anymore for the coffee. I wanted to, where's the Keurig? Give me a K-cup. I can tell by the giggles, I'm not the only one. I want a cup of coffee. I want it right now. I don't want to wait. I want, give me a K-cup and a cube of sugar, and I'm fine. Hmm? Yeah. You're right. That is a matter of laziness. You're right. And I'm okay with that, really. So to humble you, God uses the time test to humble us. To teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but that every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You know, Scripture only records that God didn't speak to Abram for those first 11 years. As a matter of fact, he didn't speak to Abram after those 11 years until he'd sent an angel to speak to Hagar. He gave him one promise and sent him on his way, and a pat on the backside and an attaboy. He never spoke to him again. And now we find Abram not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's stepping out of line from the will of God, and he's failing the time test that all of us have probably failed. I'm not going to moniker you or label you, but I'm going to just go out on a limb and say at one point or another, we've probably failed this test. Yeah, it's a fact. So we're designed to be humbled. It's designed to check our hearts. So the reason for the time test, and this is what I believe, honestly, that the reason for the time test is to, number one, teach the believer to trust God for all things. To trust God in all things. Number two, it is to teach the believer to trust God to fulfill his word. Because it's a long time before Abraham ever received another word. And it's only, God, I don't think God intended to speak to him then. I think the only reason he spoke to him then was because Hagar is taking off through the wilderness with a child that bears the blessings of God. And God goes back to him and says, what are you doing? You're letting, yeah, you went around the wrong way, but that doesn't limit my blessing. You're letting this child into the wilderness. Number three, to teach the believer to trust God to fulfill his word in his own time and in his own way. Sometimes we just need to take our hands off. Anybody ever hear that expression, just let go and let God? It's very cliche in the early 2000s. Let go and let God. That is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. Because I'm a fixer by nature. I want to get in there and get my hands dirty. If my checkbook is red, I want to just go work the overtime and schedule the Saturday or find a side job or do the things that, you know, I feel like I can do. You know, I'm a fixer. It's in my nature. I want to get my hands dirty, and I don't want to wait. Why would I wait and save when I can go work extra and buy it now? But yet God wants us to wait and trust that he will fulfill his word in his own time and in his own way. Number four, he wants to teach the believer to believe that God is God and will be God despite what I see or experience. God is God and he will be God. And when it's quiet on the home front and it's been 11 years, 11 years without the voice of God in your life is not permission to let the cheese slide off your cracker. It is not permission. It is not permission to put it in your own hands and remove it from God's. God blessed the Ishmael. The Bible says very specifically that Ishmael was blessed. The Bible said that the angel told him that baby is blessed. God will bless a mistake, but don't call a mistake the will of God. God will help bail you out of a mistake, but that doesn't make it okay. He wants us to follow his will, and he wants to be God, and he wants us to know that God is God, despite what I see or what I hear or what I experience. Number five, the reason for the time test is to expose, and this one hurts, to expose personal shortcomings of impatience. Boy, he's real good at that test. And God usually finds the results of that test that he's looking for when he comes knocking on Justin's door. The time test gives the believer the opportunity for what? Faith to grow. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want your faith to grow when nothing else sounds like the voice of God. Find your Bible. Read, study, dig, consume. Let your faith grow by seeing what God has done for others. These stories are not just stories. This isn't fiction. On a grand scale, these are real people that God really delivered in real miraculous ways. find the Word of God and build your faith. And that's a lot easier said than done. Because it's easy to get hung up in the mully grubs. And it's easy to let a heavy heart turn to a depressed spirit. So the time test gives the opportunity for the believer to have the faith to encourage others. You know, the Bible says, give and it will come back to you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. There's not one portion of that scripture that refers to money. Now, we use it towards money, but that's not necessarily all about money. It just says, give and it will come back. If you need encouragement, find somebody who's busted and encourage them. Find somebody whose spirit is shattered and encourage them, and watch in the next few days as God pour it back into your cup. The principle behind that, I can take you right back to the Old Testament with the prophet who comes along and asks the widow woman who had a small baby for a cake. And she said, but we have but just a handful of meal and a small bit of oil. I'm going to make a cake for me and my baby, and then we're going to die. And he said, give to me first, and then make one for yourself after. Which sounds like a very rude thing for a preacher to say. But he was sowing encouragement. Sowing encouragement. And what does she do when she goes to that oil and she goes to that pail of meal? It never ran dry. Never ran dry. If you'll encourage, God will pour it back to you. Over and over and over and over and over. The time test allows the believer the opportunity for purifying your motives and attitude. If you want to get to the bottom of why you're trying to do something, make you wait for it. That will purify your motives and your attitude. You can guarantee that it will put a check mark in your spirit over time when you wait for an extended period of time. I'm going to find out what's really down in there, why you really want to build ministry or why you really want to chase down this particular job or look for that promotion that maybe we haven't really earned, but you feel like God said, I'm going to give it to you. Make you wait for it, and we're going to find out whether you really want it or not. Anybody ever, you know, the boss says, oh, there's a promotion coming up, and everybody changes their motives to align themselves to look like a great candidate. And then you make them wait, and over time, those with the wrong motives and attitude, their changes wane over time. They wax dim like the moon at the end of the month. That positive attitude turns real negative in a hurry. It starts growing some mold on top of that thing. It looks like a jar of jelly that sat in the fridge too long. Waiting will purify. It will lay pure the motives and attitudes. The time test allows the opportunity for the development of maturity. Oh, I said I was going to teach it. I didn't say I was going to like it. It hurts me. You want to be spiritually mature and put away the baby bottle. God will make you wait for something, and that'll change how you respond to God in a spiritual way. We go from that. Anybody ever, well, I'm sure everybody in here has been around one of those babies where the mom constantly coddles them and constantly holds them. And anytime they pass it from person to person to person to person to person to person, the baby never gets down on the ground. And then somebody says, I'm done with this. And they set the baby down. What does that baby instantly do? Instantly screams. Why? Because it doesn't know anything else. But if you give it enough time, what happens to that baby? It finds a toy or a piece of dog food to entertain itself with. It's just a fact. If you give it enough time, that baby will stop crying. Why? It's matured beyond the point of being held and coddled all the time. Elise is not there. She wants to be held by all the teenage girls in the church, and she gets passed around. I'm like, put that child down. Hey, man, I'm just teasing. I sort of. Praise God. The time test allows for the development of patience. There she is. Hi, beautiful. The time test allows for the opportunity for the development of patience. I don't think I need to elaborate on that. Development of patience in your life usually means you have to wait for it. The development of discipline. What do you do when your promise hasn't come yet? Do you just stand and wait? Or do you continue to do what the things you know you need to do because they need done in the waiting? You want to develop discipline in your life, wait on something. I want to be 200 pounds, right? I want to get there. I'm not that. And it's really none of your business, so don't bother asking. Okay? I want to be there. I want to be skinny like I was when I graduated high school. I think that would be great. I'm going to stand here and wait to be 200 pounds. I'm just going to stand here, right? I'm exercising patience. Is that going to do me any good? If I don't, chicken nuggets are not on sale. Praise God. No, if I stand here waiting for it to come along and I don't do anything different, it's never going to happen. But if I develop the discipline to go to the gym every day, if I walked at lunch instead of waited in McDonald's parking lot with the air conditioning on in the car, guess what? I'd be a lot skinnier than I am today. I would be waiting for my goal. I would achieve my goal, but not because I'm lazy, but because I've developed discipline, patience. The time test with God will develop spiritual disciplines. You want to learn how to pray? God will make you wait on something that doesn't do anything but make you pray. When you are helpless to do anything to change the circumstances around you, except but to pray. It will drive a discipline in your life. Spiritual disciplines are not formed just happenstance. They're formed out of the abundance of need. I need to be 200 pounds. But I, more than that, I need to connect with God like we did Sunday morning. What a fantastic move of God that took place. Spiritual disciplines are made for the time test. The time test, the last development of the time test is to develop purpose in us. To develop purpose. Waiting on the promise will force you to go down avenues you probably haven't been down in a while. And you'll find places where someone needs you while you wait. You'll find avenues of places that need you and your ministry and your giftings and your callings and your special, the things that God used to form us, personalities and spirits and all the things that go along with that and our experiential things that make us who we are. They will find a place to plug in while waiting on the promise. That's why the Bible says that your gifts will make room for themselves. That never happens because you're looking for a place. It happens because you're waiting on the promise. Abram's time test revealed that being chosen does not exempt us from testing. I wish it did. I wish it was an automatic A because God said so. But it don't work like that. God's call does not exempt us from the test. Abraham's time test revealed that there is grace even in failure. God will bless a mistake. It's not okay with a mistake, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't say, Romans 8:28, somebody quote it for me. I can't get it out of my mouth today. All things work to good of those who are the called according to this purpose. We don't like to hear that in the middle of a mess. That's vinegar to taste. It's hard to understand when everything is busting loose in life and you've lost the job and your relationships are messed up and your kids are acting crazy and the checkbook is on fire. You open it up and smoke comes out. Guess ain't nobody going to be honest in here today. Praise God. But grace does not negate the price of failure. There is grace in failure, but it does not negate the price of failure. He lost a son that day as he scurried out across the desert with tears streaming down his face. The Bible says that the angel told Hagar that he was going to be a wild man and that he was going to make trouble for everyone he ever met. Grace does not negate the price of failure. And a young man paid the price for Abram's mistakes. And his mother probably paid the price with the stress of having a wild man's son. Our mistakes are not okay. Even if God can bless us around the problem, let's just avoid the problem and follow the will of God. Amen? So here, what are some signs that you are failing the time test? Let's do a checklist. Are you ready? I'm not. Signs that you're failing the time test. You expressed doubt rather than faith. Somebody pull out the green marker. That's a big one right next to the Landon family. You express doubt rather than faith. Sometimes it's hard to speak positively about a situation and know that God has it in control. I know for a fact that I'm a whiner. I know I'm a whiner. I'm a whiner when things get tough. I cry to myself a lot. I self-loathe. Some people self-soothe. I'm a self-loather. I'm just saying, that song, "There's a Tear in My Beer," was written for this guy. I could cry myself to sleep. Signs for the failing, that you're failing the time test, says that you work to substitute your way for God's will. You work your way out of substituting for God's will, rather than waiting on God. Where's that green marker at? Okay, signs you're failing the time test. You become distracted from the ultimate goal. I don't got enough green markers in here today. I could very easily tell you how many hobbies I develop when I'm waiting on something. I develop lots of hobbies, lots of distractions for me, convenient distractions. I could name the starts and stops of every hunting season from here to Kingdom Come, probably in the next 5 states around us. It's easy to develop distractions when we're uncomfortable with the process of waiting the time test out. It's easy to fail that test. Signs that you're failing the time test. Number 4, you murmur and complain. Ooh, I'm a belly acher. It's just the way it is. That's my wife. She will tell you. I'm a complainer. I have no problem pulling the shades dark in my house and pulling a blanket over my head for days. I have no problem. When I'm waiting. Number 5, you quit your responsibilities and you let somebody else pick up your problems. Oh, I hate this. I don't like this test. The time test is hard. It's tough. So 5 things to do to pass the time test. Are you ready? 5 things to do to pass the time test. Do something that requires faith. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself and stretch your faith. Just because God makes us wait on one particular long test doesn't mean He'll have us wait on every small thing. Sometimes the littlest victories give us hope for big victories. Anybody ever hear that expression? And I may not have won the battle, but I'm going to win the war. We don't win every battle. I would love to say we do. I'm just not that guy. Maybe Pastor Phil can clarify with you on Sunday that all of this is good, but he's never had this problem. I personally do not. So do things that require faith. Stretch yourself. Exercise faith. Never stop attending church. Number two, never stop attending church. The last thing you should do is cut yourself off from the life support system. It's the most dangerous thing we can do when we're waiting. Because the last thing I want to do is separate myself from where I catch my next breath. You see, in Abram, when God told him to get up out of where he was, he said, separate yourself from your family and get away from your father's house, get away from the wandering, enough of that, right? Grab your belongings. And what does he do? He grabs himself, he grabs his wife, he grabs his nephew, all the things that were closest to him that he had responsibility of, and he binds them all up together, and they head out. I have to keep the things next to me that matter the most. Being in the house of God is that for us. It is that closeness to, that's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. Everybody loves to quote that scripture, but nobody ever finishes it. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. I hope we go to more fellowships and carry-ins. Why? Because being with the family of God matters, especially while we're waiting on a promise. Amen? Thank you. Never stop worshiping. Idle hands in the moment of a patience test will crush you spiritually. It's not enough to stand. We read in Genesis, in chapter 12, the two different places that Abram stopped. What was the first thing he did? And there, Abram builded an altar. And he goes to Bethel. And the first thing he does when he gets to Bethel, before he even unpacks the luggage, before he gets, probably even before he gets Sarai off of the donkey that she was riding, you know what he did? He started gathering stones together. And he built an altar in Bethel. And if you take the time to read the next 3, 4, 5 chapters, every place he stops, he builds another altar. And it even talks about when he comes back to Bethel. And you know what he did? He builded again the same altar he built before. Worshiping God is second to absolutely none while struggling through the patience test, the time test. Can you handle the heat while God is silent? The only way to find out is to worship. You cannot make it without worshiping. Number four, things to do to pass the time test. Learn to serve others. Learn to serve others. The first thing he grabbed when God told him to get up and go to Canaan was his wife. The next thing he grabbed was his nephew, the fatherless. He grabs a hold of a boy who has no leadership and no direction. He's finding himself serving. And then when you read on at the end of, I think it's in chapter 13, where they find out that their flocks are too big and they're consuming all the water and they're eating all the things. And Lot's got great flocks and Abram's got great flocks. And so he says, we're going to separate. And what does he tell Lot? He said, you choose. And so Lot, standing at the top of the mountain, looks down at the choice plain that's full of grass and is well watered. And he said, I'll take that one. And Abram turns around and looks at the rocky mountaintop and said, fine, you do that, I'll do this. Preferring your brother and serving others is so important while waiting on the promise of God. Choosing, the Bible says in Proverbs that a great name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. Why is that? Because serving others is important. Having a good name and being well-liked is important. How you're perceived by the world around you, especially when you're in the middle of a test, is so important. Serve others in the middle. That's how you pass the time test. You'll find that if you're serving others, you won't have time to bellyache about your own problems. If you'll grab the reins of someone else's issues, you won't even notice your own. It's amazing how it happens. Number five. I cannot overstate this. Rejoice in the promise. Every day it's silent. Rejoice in the promise every day that it is silent. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. You ever feel weak? You ever feel lowly? Find yourself waiting. It says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Gosh, wouldn't that be nice? I bet at 200 pounds I'd be a lot less weary than I am now if I run. They shall walk and not faint. I pretty much got that covered, but I could do better, right? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait there doesn't refer to let's stand in one spot and twiddle my thumbs. They that wait upon the Lord, those that spend time in His presence and serve, they rejoice in that promise. They worship, they praise, they go out of their way to serve God. They wait on Him as a waiter would wait on you at a table. Can I get you anything, God? Can I be of service to you? What can I do? What kind of skill set do I have that you can utilize in this moment? Maybe it doesn't pertain to my promise, but I want to be busy about the King's work. How can I wait upon the Lord? And then let God renew your strength. There is a promise, there is not a promise given by God that will not come to pass. His word says that His word, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, shall not return void. Every word. He causes us to wait in order that we may develop maturity. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward to usward. He waits on us. Long-suffering to us. That's not long-suffering as in we wait. That's long-suffering as in my child is getting on my nerves, but I love him anyway. Anybody got kids in here tonight? I promise you. I got a 14-year-old who works on my... God is working on me with long-suffering. He is working on me. I'm God's pet project with long-suffering. I feel like a whole example for the church to watch. It's a project God's got going, me and him. But he is long-suffering to usward. In the same respect, I love that baby more than life itself. And I will rip apart anything to get to her. I will give my last breath to take care of my babies. I will shred the world on her behalf. Watch me and find out. And that's the same way God feels about us and His promises. I will rip the world apart to give my babies what they want. To give them what they need. He's not slack concerning His promise. To us, He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Look at the news around you. Not long, because it's depressing, but look at it once in a while. And recognize that God would come right now. There's not a scriptural thing left to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord. Not one thing. But He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. In order to receive the promise of God, we must pass the time test. Would you stand with me tonight? We must pass the test to receive the promise. Amen. Amen. I hope you're not in the time test because it's hard. But if you are, or if you're just coming out, or if you're just getting ready to go in, or you'll go in next week or a year from now, just know that it can be beat. Just keep your hands busy, stretch your faith, serve others, care for those around you. Don't quit coming to church. Stay in a worshipful mode. If you will do those things, God will see you through and God will bring to pass. I can vouch, God will bring to pass those promises. His promises are yes and amen. Amen. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your many kindnesses, God. We appreciate your spirit, God, which we feel in this place. We're thankful, God, for the opportunity to be gathered here tonight, God. I pray, God, you challenge each of us, God, the same way you challenged me. God, look us over, God, examine us, God. God, help us, Lord, to look deep, God, to check ourselves, God, to look down within our heart, God. Make sure, God, that we're doing our part to pass the time test, God. I pray, God, you let this word, God, build in us, grow in us, God, and help us this week, God. We want to come back here on Sunday, God. We want to see a repeat of last week, God. Let somebody be receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we thank you, Lord, for all these things, God, and we thank you most of all for your promises, God. I know that there are many that linger, God, and I know, Lord Jesus, that there are many, God, there's untapped potential in this place if we can just but wait for the promise of God. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen.